Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Stochastic.com MLB Strategy Show. Dave Locker and Greg Ehrenberg. Dude, finally, a normal slate. Finally.
Yeah, there have been some weird ones the last couple of days, which is why I had to go to the doctor yesterday. I had to do a follow-up for a foot thing I've been dealing with. And I looked at the sports schedule, like, this is the day to do it. There's like three baseball games. There's no basketball games. Like, this is the day to get all my my tasks done.
Yeah, I tweeted yesterday that I've been telling everyone I can to watch the show Louder Milk on Netflix with Ron Livingston and Will Sasso. And I was like, you got nothing going on today. Even the MLB at night, one of the two games got washed out. So it didn't matter. Told everybody, go watch that show. Thank me for it later. It's hilarious. They don't make good comedies anymore, Greg. Shows or movies. They just don't exist. And you'll have a couple people trickle in the chat and go, that's not true. Well, you have no quality sense of humor and you think shitty stuff is funny. Old stuff is funny. Like back in the 2005 to 2000, maybe 15 range, you guys know I'm right, right? Like this isn't actually an argument. Louder Milk's hilarious.
You know what's funny? I've kind of thought this recently about how me getting older and looking at things that like I liked as a kid that my parents didn't like, and always thought like that'll never be me. Are there young people who think there are just hilarious movies that are coming out now? Like I don't know what the answer is.
Maybe, but I honestly couldn't think of any.
Neither can I. I don't know what the movies are. I don't know what movies people would consider to be funny that have come out recently. I could just be out of touch, but. I can't remember the last time there was a comedy that I even saw a trailer for, let alone one that looked interesting.
Exactly. Listen, by the way, I'm sure there's one or two that have popped through that I'm not thinking of, but by and large, they've been bad. This is really good. It's from 2017. It was on an obscure network, like AT&T had a streaming network or something, and Netflix picked it up. It's really good. Anyway, we're going to get into this. We've got 10 games to talk about, and pitching's odd, but what's going on with your foot?
Oh, so this has been a like long, long ongoing thing, but I broke one of my toes in November. And
how?
Yeah, which it was dumb too. A lot of the people probably have heard me tell this, but it's been a minute. So I was working out and I got a call from a telemarketer in the middle. So I go and pick up the phone, realize it's a telemarketer because didn't look at the number or anything, just picked it up and was like, all right, what is this? And then got really annoyed when I realized it was a telemarketer who ruined my workout. So I did one of these things where I was like, fucking asshole, and like kicked my foot out like this and just punted a 20-pound weight. And,
why?
And didn't do it on purpose. I just didn't see it was there. It was just, I got annoyed that I got a call from a telemarketer, just kind of kicked my foot out of being annoyed, forgetting the weight was there. Punt a 20-pound weight. And like immediately just heard a snapping noise, like a tree branch snapping. And then within like 20 minutes, my foot was entirely swollen and my foot was all fucked up and my toe and everything. So I knew it was broken immediately, but that was all the way back in November. And then I just had lingering pain on it for months and months.
Your
and
big
months.
Toe?
It was the fourth toe. So the one next to the pinky.
So not an important one.
No, not an important one, but just like annoying to walk around with.
And yeah, then, sure.
And then I just had pain in it that was lingering for a long time. So I was like, all right, it's been 6 months at this point. I should just go to the doctor because it wasn't going away, just the discomfort I had in it. So it turns out that when I kicked it, like I did break my toe, but I also had nerve damage in my foot. It was a traumatic nerve injury. It's called Morton's neuroma. So I've been going and getting like some treatment done, cortisone shots, things along those lines.
Well, I hope it works. Were you wearing, number one, were you wearing shoes?
No, I was not wearing shoes.
Oh, God. I always work out with shoes. I put a gym in my basement, but I still wear shoes because I go down there without shoes on around and I just feel vulnerable. Like I feel like something bad, not to say these shoes would make a difference, but scares me. Anyway, did you have a freak toe? Like, if you took your shoes off, did you look like you have a freak toe? Was it all bent to the side and everything? And curled or gnarled up underneath the other one?
Not quite like that, but it was like my fourth toe was like, it was so swollen. It was on like almost like the size of my big toe. And I had swelling from that toe, like down through like the metacarpal that attaches to that toe.
Okay. Jake, is your big toe next to your big toe bigger than your big toe? Yeah, and my wife always makes fun of me because my pinky toe, like, essentially non-existent. Like, I have one, just tiny. Yeah, but good thing you don't need it. Anyway, let's get into it. 10 games. Happy to have you guys with us as always. If you don't mind, much appreciated, you take a single second to tone for your sincere on a Friday morning. We're going into the weekend. Hit that thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel. Leave a comment down below if you're watching or listening after the fact. We enjoy reading those, even the ones that may not be quite as nice. And if you ever want to listen in podcast form, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is you want to listen, we're out there. Leave a rating and a review too. Goes a long way for us. Anyway, let's go. Get into it. 10 games. We switched the format up a little bit. I think it's working, to be honest. I think you made a good call on that. Instead of going straight game by game where some of them are just a total wash, we hit on the spots that we think are most important and try and give the people as much good information in as little as time possible.
Yeah, and also let us know if there's anything you guys would also Please. Like us to talk about. Like, if there's something you think that we're missing out on that you think would be of interest to you guys, let us know, because that's always something that helps, because we don't do the shows for us. Like, I'm not doing the shows, not that I don't care what Lawfee's opinion is, but I've never done the shows and be like, boy, I can't wait to hear what Lawfee's opinion is on the Mariners as a stack today or anything. We're doing it to bring information to you guys. So if there's something you want us to talk about that you don't think we're hitting on, let us know.
Yeah, for sure. And when I say as little as time possible, that's not so I can get out of here. I'll talk for as long as necessary. I just mean to give you guys information that's more concise than having to stick around for an hour and 20 minutes for 10 games. Anyway, let's dive into it. Got the Sims run. We'll pull the lineup generator up as well. We are in business for this 10-gamer. And if you pull up our top pitchers tool, I always like to look at this in the top stacks tool before I even look at the Sims, Greg, because, you know, there's some cohesion there, right? Like, they're tied in. Particularly looking at leverage, looking at ownership, looking at top two probability for pitcher, particularly on DraftKings, looking at top stack probability. When you look at pitchers today, 20 different pitchers towing the rubber and four of them pulling the most significant ownership. Now, I totally understand Joe Ryan getting ownership like this at 8,900. 12 strikeouts last game in this exact matchup. Dude's got electric stuff. Now, as a fly ball pitcher, are there some concerns that winds are blowing out to center at 20 miles per hour? You could say that, but it's still April. It's going to be 40 degrees at first pitch. I think that kind of neutralizes the wind in a spot like this. So I totally get the ownership coming in on Joe Ryan. I'm not saying you necessarily have to get well above the field on him, Greg, but it is a good spot. He is a very good pitcher. He's got legitimately elite strikeout stuff right now and a 14.5% swinging strike rate. It's hard not to look to him first.
Yeah, and if you guys are playing cash games today, Joe Ryan is a no-brainer. He's somebody you should be playing in cash games today. If you're playing on FanDuel, he's your pitcher. If you're playing on DraftKings, he's one of your two pitchers for cash games. As far as tournaments are concerned, he is currently the second most rostered pitcher that I'm getting to in my early run of Sims in lineups here. But still well underweight to the field on him, where he's projected for 40% ownership. He's showing up in 29% of my top lineups. And it's really just because it's not that he projects poorly for us. We have him projected as, what, the third highest projected pitcher on this slate. And there's not that big of a gap between the top guys either. It's more so just the amount of ownership that's going to him. Our data saying it's a little bit too high. He's off to a great start to the year. 2.6 ERA, 2.15 expected ERA. You mentioned the strikeout stuff. He's a 34% K rate so far. So if I could only roster one pitcher on the slate and, like, price wasn't a concern, ownership wasn't a concern, Joe Ryan would be the guy. But considering what his current ownership is, looks like I'm going to be a little bit underweight to him unless he becomes less popular.
Interesting. We have Chris Sale projected higher than Joe Ryan today, huh?
Yeah, which, I mean, I understand because of the strikeout stuff of Chris Sale. And that's not to say that Joe Ryan isn't a good strikeout pitcher, because he's been striking out guys so far this year. He had a good strikeout rate last year. But Chris Sale is somebody who, while he is still a good real-life pitcher, he's even better as a fantasy asset, because he's somebody who, no matter what point of his career he's been at, even now when he's not quite a Cy Young caliber pitcher, he still generates a ton of strikeouts. So I do think there's reason to think there will be some regression coming to Joe Ryan's strikeout rate. But Chris Sale, 30.5% carried for his career, 28.2% so far this year, 29.4% last year. So even this older version of Chris Sale that's likely going to have an ERA somewhere like the low fours or the high threes, he is still a guy that generates a ton of strikeouts. That's how most of his outs are going to be coming.
I get it, I guess. I don't know how much regression comes for Ryan. I mean, last year the guy had almost a 30% strikeout rate across, what, 162 innings. I mean, that's a really good number.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, the difference we have between Sale and Joe
it's negligible.
Ryan, it's very negligible. It's like, what, 0.3 of a fantasy point or something like that. And then same, if you look at the top pitchers tool and you look at which pitchers we have projected with the best odds being a top two scoring pitcher, it's a 19.8% chance for Joe Ryan and a 20.4% chance for Chris Sale. So very, very similar looking between the two of them. For tournament purposes, I do think Chris Sale is a pretty good pivot off of Joe Ryan just because Ryan is, what, 43% owned compared to 27% for Chris Sale. Still both good options.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I like the matchup more for Ryan though, and he's a little bit cheaper. But Joe Ryan also, it's being classified as a changeup, but I think I was reading about this earlier. And it's like, it's not actually a changeup, but I'm just on Brooks Baseball. That's classifying. Is it a changeup this year? 25% whiff rate on that pitch through his first three starts, which he hasn't had those type of whiff rates on any pitches. Now that I could see some regression for sure, but yeah, he looks pretty good. 8,900. Then you've got Freddy Peralta going up against St. Louis. I don't want to say that's like a washed St. Louis lineup, but these aren't the same guys that they were in the past. He's pulling 32% ownership, highest top, among top two probability, he's the highest on the slate. He's just another guy, electric strikeout stuff. I think Peralta actually kind of fits into a similar bin as Chris Sale, except he's better than Chris Sale, you know, not better than prime vintage Chris Sale, but better than 2024 Chris Sale. 31% K rate last. I mean, look, 31% career K rate, 39.5% this season. Peralta's got some of the best strikeout stuff in all of baseball. 9,500. I mean, I think that's a more than reasonable price point on him today against St. Louis.
Yeah, going back to 2021, if you look at all of the numbers we have from Freddy Peralta, he's very silently been one of the best overall pitchers in baseball. Maybe it's less silent now because so many pitchers are out that he's getting a little bit more love. I think last I looked, he is 7-1 to an NL Cy Young. The only pitcher with better odds right now is Zach Wheeler. That's at least what it was the last I looked. So maybe it's moved a little bit from now, but at the very least, he's towards the top of the Cy Young award, at least as far as the betting odds are concerned. And if you look at his numbers, like I said, since 2021, he's very consistently been a guy with an ERA either in the high twos or the low to mid threes with an expected ERA that's always been a little bit lower than that. So one thing that we have seen out of Freddy Peralta, which has been pretty consistent last few years, he actually has run into some bad luck. And some pitchers are just guys who consistently over or underperform the peripheral stats. But I think there might just be some bad luck that's lingered for Freddy Peralta the last few years. And now the first few starts of this year is a 2.55 ERA, 2.52 expected ERA, 2.41 FIP. I wonder if this is the year where the actual underlying numbers start to match the actual ERAs. We might see a guy with an ERA in like the high twos that really does become a Cy Young caliber pitcher. Of all the pitchers we have on the slate, I do think Freddy Peralta is the best. He's got a matchup against St. Louis Cardinals team who their best hitters, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, are much better hitters against lefties than righties. So I do think this is a pretty good matchup for Freddy Peralta. If I'm picking my two cash game pitchers for today, it's going to be Joe Ryan and Freddy Peralta on DK.
Agreed. And also, just looking at my first Sims run, Jordan can pull it up as well. Pitcher exposure. Freddy Peralta right now, second highest exposed pitcher. Actually getting a decent amount of Jack Flaherty here as well. And I understand it. I don't get particularly excited about Jack Flaherty, but we know a couple of things about this opponent in the Minnesota Twins. And yes, winds, as I mentioned, blowing out center field, windy there. On most days, I'd be like, hey, that's a little bit concerning. 40 degrees at first pitch. I really think that that neutralizes a lot of that wind and just kills the ball in the air. So I don't look at that and go, man, I'm super concerned about that. But Flaherty's been, from a strikeout perspective, you know, he got blown up by Oakland, but he struck out five. Minnesota, he gave up 3 6 1/3 last time out, but struck out 8. White Sox went 6, allowed 1 run, struck out 7. There is some strikeout upside here, and I think when you're dealing with a team like Minnesota, you can get tagged a little bit, and it doesn't matter as much. 25% K rate this year, 27% for his career. There is still some juice there in Jack Flaherty.
There is a little bit. I do wonder if he is potentially not good, though. I'm not saying it's for sure the case, but his last few years have really not been good. And he started this year off also a little bit slow. So we saw the year, what was it, in like 2019, where he became a Cy Young candidate, who's arguably the best pitcher in baseball the second half of the season. Last year, he had a 4.99 ERA, a 5.06 expected ERA. In 2022, he had a 4.25 ERA, a 4.94 expected ERA. 2021, at first glance, all right, he had 3.22 ERA, but the underlying numbers, he had a 4.89 expected ERA. I don't know. I think he might be a little bit overrated as a pitcher. I know a lot of people were really hyped when he got traded last year because his velocity was down. And then he had said in an interview kind of that it seemed he was very unhappy with both the St. Louis Cardinals fan base as well as the meeting. He just didn't want to be there, and it was something that was impacting his performance. But there's still some red flags this year as well, and it's not like he was spectacular after getting traded last year either, and a lot of projection models are not all that high on him this year. Zips has him projected with a 4.57 ERA for the rest of the season. Steamer has him as the best of any of the projection models. They still have him as a 4.18 ERA guy with a fairly low strikeout rate. So considering the amount of ownership going to him right now, I get it. He's $7,700. There's pay-up offenses we really like. But I think I'd be more inclined to go into the Sims if this was the exposure heading into lock and do a negative ROI boost downgrade to him, just considering the amount of ownership there and the amount of red flags in his underlying numbers.
So I totally get all of that. And by the way, I don't think Jack Flaherty is any legitimate ace. I just think the matchup is good enough to where he can escape this one with a solid start. Plus, his velocity is back to where it was. It's back north of 94 miles per hour. So I don't know if there's a huge issue there. One other thing that I want to ask you about. So Royce Lewis went down early in the year, right? And then Carlos Correa is also on the injured list. So they have a couple notable names there. They're two, you know, arguably their two best hitters that aren't going to be in the lineup. And Correa is not a particularly high strikeout guy either. So on paper, if you're looking at this and looking at this Minnesota team, against a righty, there could be a lot of strikeouts there.
Yeah, for sure. It's a team that strikes out a whole bunch. So I'm not going to deny that there's upside in Freddie Peralta. I just think he's a little bit too popular.
Jack Flaherty.
And what did I say?
Peralta.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So Jack Flaherty, there's definitely an upside there. I just question if it's going to be, we see that upside as frequently as what his ownership is. So I'm going to be underweight to what his current projected ownership is, because I mean, we do have him nearly 30% owned in our ownership projections. And then also, when we start talking about stacks, I don't think the Twins are a bad spot to stack to be a contrarian team to find leverage with.
Sure. Yeah, and Flaherty has definitely, at times, struggled with the long ball. Not terribly, but it's not like he keeps the ball in the yard like the best of them. And, you know, modest ground ball pitcher, decent amount of hard contact. Now, if you look at some of the other high-priced options, you have Peralta, Sale. Joe Ryan is like the 7th highest-priced option on the slate. Does anyone else stand out to you up there? Like Yamamoto, Snell against Arizona today in a favorable pitcher's park, Jordan Montgomery in the same park, Sean Manaea against the Dodgers. That's not a spot that I'm necessarily looking to target. But are there any of those other guys jump off the page at you?
Yeah, so Blake Snell has only made two starts so far this year. He did win the NL Cy Young last year, and he was a pitcher that benefited from a lot of luck. I didn't think Blake Snell was the best pitcher in baseball or anything last year, but it's always one of those weird things where it's like, do you give the Cy Young to the guy who has the best real stats or the guy who has the best underlying stats? Because Blake Snell was a guy who seemed to benefit from a lot of luck last year, and that's one of the reasons why nobody wanted to sign him in the offseason. It's not that teams thought that Blake Snell is bad. It's just that Scott Boras and Blake Snell were demanding he be paid like a Cy Young, and people were looking at the underlying numbers like, yeah, you won the Cy Young last year, but you're not really as good as what your ERA says. So it kind of created this weird scenario where people are like, we don't want to pay for you, and that's never really been the past with Cy Young caliber type pitchers before, and now he's gone off to a little bit of a slow start. I'm going to blame it primarily on the lack of spring training, the fact that he did sign so late. But considering he's projected for sub 10% ownership, if I'm looking to get different in the high end, I'm willing to bet on the talent of Blake Snell, who's always been a really good fantasy asset because of his strikeout stuff. And you can get him at single digit ownership. That really could differentiate a lot of otherwise chalky lineups.
Yeah. Semi unappealing matchup here, but I get what you're saying. He threw 78 pitches last time out. Four innings, 72 in his first. I wonder if there's any limitations here still.
Maybe a light one. Like, I don't think he goes over 100 pitches, but I would expect, as long as he's pitching well, to throw like 90 to 95. I think one other thing, too, that's kind of been an issue for him is he's pitched so poorly so far this year that they haven't wanted him to be out there for an extended period of time because he's just getting his ass kicked. It's only two starts. He's thrown seven innings.
I will say, I'm a little less interested than you. I can appreciate the ownership argument, but Arizona, since the start of last season, has the second lowest strikeout rate versus left-handed pitching. This year in over 250 plate appearances, of course, we need more than that, but striking out collectively at 15%, they really do not strike. Plus, you know, you have guys in that lineup that have high strikeout rates, but they won't be in the lineup tonight. You know, I mean, you take somebody like, there's a few guys, right, that should not be in the lineup today. You would think.
So one other thing is if we get later on into the day and Snell's ownership comes up and like Joe Ryan's comes down, it totally changes the equation here. Because it's, once again, just kind of talking on the ownership, we've got Blake Snell projected for about a fourth of the ownership of Joe Ryan. So at a fourth of the ownership, I don't think that Joe Ryan outscores him 4-1 on this slate. But if you even get to a point later on the day, Joe Ryan is 30% owned and Blake Snell is 15%, then that really does change the equation. It's really solely the ownership.
You know who I think is going to be on the IL sooner than later? Tristan McKenzie.
Could be.
Well, he opted out of Tommy John. And the results that he's gotten thus far, they're as bad as possible, Greg. I mean, they're bad. I know he went 5 2/3 scoreless against the White Sox, but he got two strikeouts in that game. And that's against the White Sox, who have already been hamstrung by injuries and just an overall bad team. There's something very concerning. The reason I bring him up is because you're going up against the Oakland Athletics. Normally, anybody's in play against Oakland, but he's getting no ownership. And you know what? Even with that very little ownership, I still have zero interest in getting the Tristan McKenzie. Even based on what we've seen before, prior to this season where he had strikeout stuff, his swinging strike rate last game was 2%. The game before that, 5%, 9% against Seattle. But it still didn't make much of a difference. Two strikeouts. His velocity is down 2 miles per hour. His fastball sitting 90. I don't see anything redeeming right here. I think even though he says he feels okay, there's no way he's right. There's just like this. This doesn't look like a blip on the radar type thing to me. This looks like a guy that is actually dealing with something.
Yeah, and the velocity is way down as well, which is another thing that would go to that being potentially the case. If you look at his numbers last year as well, where he only made four starts due to injury, it was terrible. He had a 5.06 ERA, 4.64 expected ERA. He couldn't throw strikes at all. He was walking nearly a hitter per inning. He had a 17.8% walk rate last year, and you go like, oh, that's terrible. Let's see what McKenzie looks like the next year. His velocity is down even more this year. He's an 8.1% strikeout rate and a 19.4% walk rate. I don't care that he's pitching against the Oakland A's. I don't know if he could get out AAA pitchers the way that he's throwing strikes right now.
I agree, 100%.
It's not just 1 year. So there's a lot of concerning red flags about McKenzie, like you had said. And yeah, if I had to pick one side of this game to play, I'd be more apt to stack the A's than it would be to roster McKenzie.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because there were people in chat saying, look, if you're paying for two pitchers, you got to go cheap somewhere. I honestly think that A's bats are viable today. I really do. I mean, McKenzie's sitting 90 on his fastball right now. It's not good at all. Like, you look at these starts, 90, 91, 90 in his three starts. And if you take a look at, like, whiff rates on these pitches, right? So you're throwing primarily four-seamer, curveball, slider, right? Like, those are your three pitches. The whiff rate on these last year, 23% on the slider, 11% this year, 5% whiff rate on his four-seamer. He's missing no bats at all. That's just a giant red flag to me, man. Giant red flag with the velocity dip.
Yeah, when we talk about offenses, the Oakland A's are my second favorite secondary stack. One of the reasons is just, I mean, I have so much exposure to the Mariners as a stack that they're my favorite primary and my favorite secondary stack. But yeah, for making like three-man stacks to save salary, I really do like getting to Oakland.
Pod DeGen Stoner, ketchup on my eggs like Laffy. Brother, I made three scrambled eggs, 1.5 pieces of American cheese this morning, onions, green peppers, cut up a little sausage, tossed it in there, and topped it with ketchup. Better believe it, brother. It is delicious. Are you a ketchup on eggs person or not?
No. Also, I've kind of soured a little bit on just scrambled eggs by themselves. Wow. Like, I have to make it, if I make like a sandwich on a bagel or something, you could have eggs on it. But I'm not big on just making eggs as a standalone thing.
Yeah, you eat bread in the morning, you get tired. You get lethargic. Really?
No. Here's what I've been making for breakfast most mornings, though. I take out a blender. I put some fruit in it, bananas, strawberries, blueberries, a little bit of oat milk and like honey, protein, ice, and then just make a smoothie.
Sounds good. Sounds healthy to me.
Yeah. And it's also much easier cleanup than making eggs.
Yeah. I mean, you're exaggerating big time.
No. There's nothing. I hate cleaning pans. There's nothing worse than it.
Yeah, there is. Cleaning a fucking blender.
No, blender, you don't have to clean anything. It just has an attachment. It's a NutriBullet. It just has a cup you put on the top of it. You could drink out of the cup and blend the smoothie in it, and then you just put it in the dishwasher. I don't have to do anything. The machine
does. Yeah, but the thing is, I would hand wash that stuff because I'm not putting it in the dishwasher if I'm going to use it the next day.
I run the dishwasher every day.
How? Why?
You just press the button because then I don't have to clean anything. I don't want to clean anything. You just run the dishwasher.
I hate those. I clean those out and my hand gets stuck in there. Now you can't get to the bottom of
it. Yeah, I got big paws. Cleans it for me.
Fair enough. Anyway, let's talk about some other pitchers here. Because as it stands, and we talked about Ryan Peralta, Flaherty, Sale, Clark Smith's getting some love today against Tampa. I can see it. Slight negative leverage in the top pitchers tool. Yamamoto getting 11%, Snell getting 10. If you were to work from the bottom up, right, this kind of, I think puts everything into focus. Dakota Hudson, Emerson Hancock, that's a weird game because it's going to be really cold in Colorado today. But I'm still not interested in Dakota Hudson or Emerson Hancock. If I had to go to one, sure, Hancock, but I'm not excited about either. Heaney against Atlanta, the lefty against Atlanta, in Atlanta, I'm good. Alec Marsh against Baltimore, no. Joe Boyle against the Cleveland team that really has no strikeouts. Jordan Montgomery's $9,200. Sean Manaea against the Dodgers. This is what I'm saying. Like, keep working your way up. Where do we get to a point where the first guy from the bottom up, you go, you know what? I kind of like that.
Does Clark Schmidt count?
So that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah,
but so, that's all the way up if you're talking ownership.
I like Clark. I think Clark Schmidt is a very good pivot off of Jack Flaherty. So if you look at the top pitchers tool, which Jordan has up on screen right here, we have Clark Schmidt projected better than Jack Flaherty. We have Clark Schmidt with a slightly better chance of being a top scoring pitcher on the slate. It's negligible, but still, we do have Clark Schmidt slightly ahead of Jack Flaherty. But Schmidt also has half the ownership of Flaherty. So that's a pivot I really like making in large field tournaments, is going to Schmidt as opposed to Flaherty. Schmidt's also going to be pitching at home against the Tampa Rays, whereas Flaherty's going to be on the road. It balances out the fact that Flaherty has a slightly easier matchup. But I really like that we're getting this big ownership discount on Schmidt.
By the way, you and these people in chat saying that cleaning egg pans is hard.
I'm not saying it's hard. It's just...
You don't like it.
If I make a smoothie, I don't have to clean anything. I just put it in the dishwasher. It cleans
right.
It for me.
All I'm saying, non-stick pans comes right off. I even mix the cheese in with the eggs. Still comes right off. Just got to get non-stick, Greg. If you're working with old pans, you're in trouble.
I have non-stick pans. There's a little bit of stickage. Not a lot, just a little bit of stickage.
I make everything on the Blackstone recently. Just go out there, cook up breakfast for everyone, like the extended family. Makes you feel like a real man, Greg. You go out there.
That's what makes you feel like a man cooking for other people. Pass.
Damn right it does. Anyone who knows. You go out there on a nice day, a cold beer in your hand. Well, maybe not for breakfast. But like you go out there, come in, and everyone goes, damn, this tastes delicious. What'd you do? And I go, I'm not going to tell you. Anyway.
It's a secret.
BD said, the Blackstone's where it's at, period. You're damn right, dude. I even enjoy cleaning it.
Yeah. I don't buy that for a second.
Yeah. Yes, I'm telling you, it's great. Nice sunny day.
I do not buy that you cook food, be like, I cannot fucking wait to start cleaning.
It's not that I can't wait. Well, here's the thing, Greg. You have two young kids, and tell me you won't do anything to get outside for a little bit with a beer in your hands.
I can't relate. I do whatever I want. I'm a free man.
I just bought a dethatcher and like a manual aerator for my yard, and I'm going to go out there and spend some time. So yeah, we do some stuff. Plus I just enjoy that stuff. I don't know. Call me a freak. At least I'm not the one with the toe that wraps underneath the other one.
That's true. Anyway,
are there any other pitchers you like though?
Let me see if there's anybody else I'm getting any kind of meaningful exposure to. Not really. I mean, there's guys that show up in some lineups here and there, but nothing that's like a priority that I think we should be really focused on talking about.
I don't think so either. Let me just pull the Sims up to see if I have any other exposures to some of these guys. Like Flaherty, Ryan, Peralta, Snell, Sale, Schmidt. I have over 20% Schmidt. A little bit of Gibson and Alexander, and then outside of that, there's essentially nothing. So pretty much what you just said. You want to talk stacks? Because there's one stack that I'm getting a ton of.
Yep, I bet it's the Seattle Mariners.
Oh, you would be correct. Before we do, though, guys, only a couple days left for the NBA playoff promo. You guys, look, gotten a ton of people signing up for this, probably because it's Nikola Jokic picture up there. God, every time I look at that, it haunts me. Probably because it's an awesome deal. But first payment, NBA Sim. I know you're on an MLB show, but NBA, a lot of basketball to go. And you've got two playing games tonight. Then you got four games and four games Saturday, Sunday. And then the entire week from today till next Friday, this whole week you'd be taking advantage of. There's only one day with less than three games. Every other day is three and four games. You're getting 50% off your first week. Huge discount, 50% off the top. Sims Max Weekly for NBA. That's the Sims, the contest generator, the lineup generator, ownership, player projections, the top stacks tool, top pitchers tool, top hitters tool, premium Discord, player projections, ownership, literally everything on the site. This is all inclusive for NBA. 50% off everything. A lot of basketball. And believe it or not, Greg, their prize pools are still going to be bigger than MLB.
Yeah, we've had, let's see, because we've had $400,000 prize pools, $100,000 a first for each of the first two play-in slates. That's the same we have tonight as well. And then there's no contest posted yet for tomorrow, but tomorrow the real playoffs start, where There's going to be a 4-game slate on Saturday that spans the entire day. Same thing with Sunday. And I assume that there's going to be probably even slightly bigger prize pools, maybe like $500,000 and $100,000 in the first place.
Anyway, jump in. Link in the description. The link is in the chat. If you have any questions, hit me or Greg up. Our DMs are open. Before you do so, trying to figure it out. And I say it every time, but Greg did amazing tutorials right here that you can find. If you get the Sims, there's help up. Like, you can get the tutorials up top on the Sims page. Watch them. They're great. I watched them when we first came out with the Sims for NFL and NBA because he did them with Steve Buzzard, one of the best DFS players out there. Greg's crushed NBA all season. So definitely watch them. The learning curve, it's easy to figure out how to use these. And you can massage the settings to the way you like. Anyway, a couple days left on that. Link down in the description and in the chat. Seattle Mariners, yes. A lot of Seattle. Weather's not great here. But here's the one caveat. I want to get your thoughts about this, okay? Mm-hmm. StatCast has a great, great park factor page. I love it. I'm sure you use it as well, right?
Yep.
When you look at Coors Field, many people just think it's a band box. Like, there's a lot of home runs. It's actually just ridiculously cavernous. Like, there's so many places for doubles and triples to get gapped. And the altitude, not to mention the altitude affects strikeouts as well, so there's fewer strikeouts for pitchers. The home run rating for Coors Field, it's 9, so still good. But if you look at Coors for triples, it's a 204. The next closest is a 174. If you look for doubles, it's a 122, third highest in the league. And then if you just look overall in park factor, no surprise, it's the highest for that and for runs scored. So, yes, weather can make an impact, but I think less than it would in a homer-friendly park or one that's like primarily home runs. I still like the offenses here, particularly Seattle.
Yeah, one thing I recommend you guys do as well, if you're going to the StatCast Park Factors page, turn on the 3-year rolling average, because if you're just looking at this year's stats, you're getting, like a month's worth of data at this point.
And I believe it defaults to that, to the 3-year rolling average.
Yeah. The 3-year rolling average, it'll just give you a bigger sample size. And also it's a baseball park. So it's not like you're going to see 1 year, like crazy different expected outputs than the year before. It's just a way to get yourself a little bit bigger of a sample size there. But yeah, I mean, Coors Field, it is a ballpark that is still going to be giving above average in terms of home run numbers, but where the real, real value of Coors Field comes, it's just a lot of batted balls that would otherwise be singles turn into doubles and triples, of course.
Right. And I can't imagine you're concerned about Dakota Hudson.
No, not at all. And these are the types of pitchers that have terrible makeups for Coors Field. And also, I don't understand why the Rockies keep signing these kinds of pitchers.
I said that the other day. Why are they bringing guys in that are completely built opposite? Like, they're not even bringing in guys that have, like, I don't get it. At least Dakota Hudson gets ground balls.
Yeah, you just need pitchers that get some semblance of strikeouts. I mean, I think the real issue here is probably they can't get any pitchers that want to go to pitch for the Rockies. So I think a lot of these guys in free agency that are veterans that aren't drawing a lot of interest in other places, they just end up going to the Rockies because that's where they get the most lucrative contract offer. And then the Rockies have to maybe a little bit overpay for some of these kinds of pitchers. And yeah, Dakota Hudson's a pitcher who's regularly had ground ball rates north of 50%, 55% overall for his career, 53% this year. But you just can't be a pitcher who pitches to a lot of contact and find success at Coors Field. There's going to be too many extra base hits that end up coming as a result of that. So I think it's going to be a really tough year for Dakota Hudson. That's clearly not a hot take. We do have a Seattle team that strikes out a ton this year, but it's against a pitcher, doesn't generate any strikeouts. It's an offense that has a lot of power. Its downfall is its contact rate, but against a pitcher, it doesn't really generate any kind of swing and misses. This is a really good matchup for Seattle.
Yeah, absolutely. What about the Colorado side?
Yeah, so on the Colorado side, they're going up against Emerson Hancock, and we have them with the 4th highest top stack odds. But one thing that does make them stand out is that they are only projected for 2% ownership. They're a lot more expensive than Seattle. One other thing that works in Seattle's favor is not only do they have the highest top stack odds on the board, and we also have them as being modestly owned, but they're relatively cheap for a game that's being played at Coors Field. So there actually is better value on the Seattle side. But if you're looking for the best low-owned team to get to, yeah, I could certainly see myself being overweight to a 2% owned Rockies team.
Yeah, me too. Also, we talked about Oakland. I'm getting 10% Oakland, 11% Oakland stacks right now. I think it's fine. A bunch of three-mans. Trying to see other spots that I'm getting a lot. Like, my five-man stack exposure is largely dominated by Seattle and then a good amount of Cleveland. I don't know how much Cleveland you're getting here, but, you know, going up against Joe Boyle, this is one of those spots where I was a little bit surprised to get as much as I did. I don't know. I didn't think I would get this much Cleveland today. Plus, they're actually negatively leveraged in the top stacks tool.
Yeah, Joe Boyle might just be really terrible, which is one of the reasons that I think the Sims end up getting to some of those Guardian stacks. It's just the upside that they have as a team. Because you look at Joe Boyle for the year, he has a 5.68 ERA, 4.21 expected ERA. Those numbers, though, he has really benefited from the fact that he's allowed zero home runs so far this year. Where if you look at his minor league numbers, he's always a guy who's had like about an average home run to fly ball rate. And also a guy who's giving up a lot of fly balls this year. He's a 36% ground ball rate in his limited time in the major leagues last year. He had a 30% ground ball rate. And he puts a lot of guys on base. He walks a bunch of guys this year. He walked a bunch of guys in the minor leagues. So there's going to be opportunities for a big inning out of the Cleveland Guardians. Not necessarily like a priority stack for me or anything, but it's one of the teams that I'm getting to that aren't the Mariners, because you guys could see on screen right now in the Sims that Jordan ran, he has about 44% Mariners. I got even more of that in the Sims that I ran for myself. I was getting to like 66% Mariners stacks, which does really limit the amount of other options I get to.
I will say, though, just what this guy's actually never given up home runs, like at all. Pull that up. This is actually shocking to see how few home runs he's allowed all throughout the minors.
So it's weird because he has, so last year he only pitched 33 innings in the minor leagues. And so he had a low home run to fly ball rate, but when he was with the Reds in Double A last year, he had a 10.5% home run to fly ball rate. In 2022 in Double A, he had a 10% home run to fly ball rate. It's weird. Like, he hasn't pitched that much. When you look at all the sample sizes, it's, you know, he's pitched 12 innings so far this year. Last year, he pitched 16 innings for the A's in Major League Ball. He pitched 16 innings for the A's in Triple A. He pitched 84 innings for the Reds in Double A. And then beyond that, there's very limited data on him.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm just saying he's allowed 15 total home runs in like 230 innings, which is crazy.
Yeah, really on the whole, it's not that much. It just should be higher than the 0% that he's allowed so far this year.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And,
I
agree. He walks everybody. Like, it's very weird to me that he would end up with a big league roster spot. When you look at just the insanely high walk rates he had all throughout the minors, where even in some of these small sample sizes, it didn't matter where he went. He was always walking a bunch of hitters.
Yeah, that's a problem.
In 2021, a 23% walk rate in Single A. In 2022, a 21% walk rate in Double A. Last year with the Reds in Double A, he had a 19.4% walk rate. Then with the A's in Triple A, he had a 17% walk rate. You'll never see walk numbers this high for a pitcher who's getting called up to the major leagues.
Yeah, seriously. It's really high. Although, you know, walks don't always translate into great fantasy totals for the opponent either. But yeah,
when it means that the A's terrible bullpen has to come in and like,
that is true. That is very true. Yeah. And then you have teams batting around. Benny said liking white hoodies and being a ketchup guy is asking for trouble. Dude, I stained this the second day I had it. I ran upstairs, hit it with the stain remover. I love white, but I don't know about you, Gray. I'm a wildly messy eater in the sense that no matter how hard I try to not get, I'm like a child. I somehow always get food on my clothes. Are you a condiment guy?
So like when I have chicken, I'll have ketchup. If I have steak or like a sandwich, I'll put like steak sauce on, or hamburger, I'll put ketchup on it. So yeah.
Okay. So for me, it's life. Like if I could get, what's your number one? Don't tell me ketchup.
Yeah, it's ketchup.
Really?
Yeah.
There's so many good ones out there. Like for me, hands down, without a shadow of a doubt, honey mustard. I put honey mustard on bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches.
Mustard smells weird to me.
Honey mustard. It's very different.
Yeah, it smells weird. I don't like it.
Mustard, barbecue, ketchup, honey mustard, any, you name it. The only one, sweet and sour, the only one I'm not a fan of, huge fan of, is ranch, which offends people.
I don't really like ranch either. Ketchup.
Blue cheese, chunky blue cheese. Oh, that's the best.
Yeah, I can't. So there's dairy-free ones that are pretty good now. So I used to really like it, then had to stop for a little bit when I couldn't eat cheese anymore. But yeah, there's some good like dairy-free ones at Whole Foods now. Let me think what else. Teriyaki sauce.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah, I like teriyaki sauce on chicken. Good.
Yeah, I'll do it. Again, anything I'll probably use anything. Delicious. Anyway, let's wrap this up with some stacks. Before we do, free square on Sleeper tonight, my friends. Are you new over there? You haven't signed up yet or you haven't deposited yet? Link in the description and in chat. It's getting you a $500 first match deposit bonus. Huge. Best one at any pick'em site. And also a free square. De'Aaron Fox, 29.5 points discounted down to a half a point tonight. That's huge. So with the dynamic payouts there, the dynamic pricing, meaning you can grab home runs, doubles, triples. Hell, basketball. You want to do double doubles, triple doubles. You have a strong read on someone where you can't do that on other pick'em sites. They take the multiplier. So say it's like 5-1 on a traditional sports book. You know, it translates to, and obviously check the odds against your other actual sports books. Hopefully the sharp ones be getting, you know, 5x multiplier on a home run or on a stolen base and stuff like that. So really cool way to build out the lineups there, taking the, you know, the higher or the lower on these player projections, building them out, particularly if you're in non-legal betting states. Links down there. Get up to $500 deposit bonus instantly. If you only have 50, you're getting 100 now. If you only have 20, now you got 40. So you're doubling it regardless. And you got a free square to throw into your first car, boost your ROI out of the gate. All right. Yep. And the De'Aaron Fox.
By the way, that free square, it's 0.5 points for De'Aaron Fox. So pretty easy over there.
What did I
Fox.
Say?
0.5 points.
What did I say?
I didn't know if you had said who the player was. So I was just
I did. You just weren't listening.
Easy one. Easy. Yeah, there's also ones all throughout the weekend. Either. There's Jalen Brunson, Zach Wheeler, Paul George, all of them over 0.5 points, or in Zach Wheeler's case, 0.5 strikeouts. So free squares all throughout the weekend at Sleeper.
Any other stacks worth digging into here that we haven't talked about? Any other individual bats?
Let me look at my most rostered bats. It's going to be all Seattle hitters.
I have one that we haven't talked about yet, and that's Atlanta against Andrew Heaney.
Yeah, I mean, my, like I said before, my lineups, I'm just looking through, my exposure are so skewed towards the Seattle Mariners. These are my most rostered bats, and we can talk a little bit about Atlanta. But my number one most rostered hitter, Ty France. Number two, Josh Rojas. Three, Julio Rodriguez. Four, Cal Raleigh. Five is Mitch Haniger. Six is Jorge Polanco. Seven is J.P. Crawford. My most rostered hitter who is not on the Mariners, it is my eighth most rostered hitter, and it's Adam Duvall. So it does tie into you liking the Braves a little bit.
It's going to be 81 degrees in Atlanta today. A lot of cold weather across the country, 80 even out west, 81 degrees. Winds blowing out 8 miles to left center, which whatever. But 81 degrees at first pitch. Andrew Heaney, fly ball pitcher, career 15.5% home run to fly ball rate, going up against a slew of right-handed bats that can mash lefties. I think as far as pay-up options go today, Atlanta would be my number one.
Yeah, I mean, the only downside about the Braves is just the price point. But yep. Beyond that, I mean, they're picking up 9% ownership. They have a 10% chance being the top scoring team on the slate in our top stacks tool. There's a lot of upside for them against Andrew Heaney. I agree. It's a good spot. The only reason that would prevent me from getting to him is there just aren't that many cheap pitchers that I like today. But that's the problem. It's a team that still looks like it warrants exposure.
Let's close it out with this. Here's kind of a fun question for you that might not be the easiest thing to answer, but if you were to go sub 8K, right? Sub 8K on DraftKings, you have Clark Schmidt, you have Jack Flaherty. Like, those are going to be the two highest owned guys, sub 8K. If you had to pick a third guy there, who would it be? Like, is it Kyle Gibson?
It's probably Dean Kramer, but with very, very minimal confidence.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're right.
But that's then you're getting down to like a Tyler Alexander,
who has, you know, decent stuff, but he's going up against the Yankees. That's not a really appealing spot.
That's one of the benefits of the Mariners, though. They're not even that expensive.
Yeah, that's true.
You could play the top pitchers with Mariner stacks.
Wow, hold on a second. There's only one Mariner bat. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Hold on. There's only two Mariner bats above 5K.
Yeah, they're cheap. You could play, not like in all your lineups, would you be able to get to like Freddy Peralta and Joe Ryan with the Mariners if you're playing only the expensive Mariners hitters. But if you're playing some of the cheaper guys that are in the bottom part of the order and you're rostering like the A's as a secondary stack, you could build your lineups and not roster anybody more expensive than Jack Flaherty.
Absolutely.
Pretty easily.
Tolga said, if the weather wasn't so bad, Colorado would be my fave. I get it. Like I said, though, I don't think it's going to be as bad just given the dimensions of that park. I think the doubles and triples are still going to be there. Like, you don't need to necessarily play that for just home runs. Anyway, anything else before we go?
No, I think that's it for me. We'll have Live Before Lock later on today for both MLB and NBA and then the post-lock show tonight. So go check out all of that stuff. In terms of the rest of our content, the rest of the day. But yeah, it's going to be a slate where I'm stacking the Mariners probably the most that I've stacked any individual team so far this year, unless something drastic changes.
Oh, one more thing, guys, before you go. Greg and I talk about betting all the time here. Many of you maybe love that. Some of you maybe don't, and you're only DFS. We have the playoff promo for Odd Shopper going right now. Our market-based tool, crushing. I know you had a good NBA season. I'm up 2,500 in NBA just in April. And this is for all sports. And I'm strictly using Odd Shopper plays, by the way. I'm not even mixing in my own right now. $1 for the entirety of the week. And that's all sports like NBA, MLB, any other sports that pop up. Cause we have like, I think 10, 11 sports. So whatever's going on, all of that in the market-based tool, it's an amazing tool, man. And once you learn how to use it, understand it, it's huge. Parlay Builder, the expert picks, the premium Discord, all of that stuff for a single dollar for the first week. So if you're in one of those states and you've wanted to kind of refine your game as a sports bettor and really figure out a process that's amazing, this is the way to do it. I say that from experience. I know Greg can say the same. It's awesome, and it's a dollar for your first week. So I know it's not DFS, but for those of you that enjoy betting as much as we do, your first week's just for a dollar and the premium Discord included, plus all of the tools on the site.
Yeah, it's a dollar, so maybe it's for you, maybe it isn't. I think it's something that is pretty easy to make money with, but it's a dollar. You guys could try it for a dollar and see if you like it, because I do think that for people who use Odd Shopper properly, it's going to pay for itself in the long run fairly easily.
Yeah, it will. It will. It's a numbers game. Get volume down. Just get volume down. Bet all the plus EV plays and get volume down. And that's how you do it. Anyway, appreciate you guys. Greg's at G. Ehrenberg DFS. I'm at Lafay_D on Twitter. Thanks for hanging out as always. Live Before Lock, Deeper Dive coming up later today. And we'll catch you back here for the next one. Have a good weekend.